Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Italian stocks and bonds rally as the government reportedly agrees to trim its budget deficit target.
Currencies in India and Indonesia weaken to record lows.
And Jay Powell stays the course, continuing his call for gradual rate hikes.
President Trump takes aim at Brett Kavanaugh's accuser.
How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember.
And Robert Mueller winds down parts of his investigation. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees and A's play the American League one-game wildcard playoff tonight in the Bronx. Last night in the NL, the Rockies outlasted the Cubs.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. stock index futures are following European shares higher this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 54, NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany is little change. The CAC in Paris up 0.3%, so is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 3.07%, the yield on the 2-year 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 30 cents to $75.53 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $1,207.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1574, the yen, 113.84. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Italy, where stocks and bonds are rallying. The euro stronger as well, after the Italian government reportedly agreed to trim its budget deficit target. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Italian markets got some respite after a report that the government has bowed to EU pressure over its budget. According to the Corriere della Sera newspaper, the ruling populists will seek to contain the deficit shortfall to 2.2% in 2020 and 2% in 2021. They're both down from 2.4%. That was the key figure. And that's seen government bonds snap 4 days of declines. The FTSE MIB index of shares also heading for the best gain in more than a week. The Five Star Movement and the League coalition will need to released its economic growth projections before presenting a draft budget proposal to the EU Commission by October the 15th. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. Here in the U.S., Jay Powell is welcoming the recent increase in wages. The Federal Reserve Chairman is also confident that low unemployment won't spur a surge in inflation.
This historically rare pairing of steady low inflation and very low unemployment is a testament to the fact that we remain in extraordinary times. Our ongoing policy of gradual interest rate normalization reflects our efforts to balance the inevitable risks that come with extraordinary times.
Powell says he expects to stick with the central bank's current path of gradual interest rate hikes.
Risk premiums on U.S. junk-rated bonds have tumbled to the lowest level since the financial crisis. The yield spread between junk bonds and treasuries reached 3.09 percentage points this week. That is the lowest level since July of 2007. For some, it's a signal markets are in the late stages of the long bull run.
In Turkey, consumer inflation rose for a sixth straight month, reaching the highest level in more than 15 years. The lira's meltdown contributed to an inflation rate of 24.5% in September. That puts Turkey's central bank in a tight spot after it raised rates last month to the highest level in nearly two decades.
Well, it was another down day for stocks in Asia, while India and Indonesia's currencies weakened to record lows. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from Singapore.
Nathan and Karen, sovereign bonds, stocks and the currency fell in India as markets reopened there after Tuesday's holiday, with the rupee moving past 73 to the dollar for the first time. Meanwhile, for the first time since August 2017, India has lost its membership of the $2 trillion equity market club that includes the likes of Germany and France. In Indonesia, the rupiah extended its streak past 15,000 to the dollar to reach its lowest level since the 1998 Asian financial crisis, forcing Bank Indonesia Indonesia to again assert it is continuing intervention to stabilise the currency. Elsewhere, Hong Kong's Hang Seng index remained under pressure and Japan's Nikkei 225 index retreated from 27-year highs. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. Oil trading near the highest level in almost 4 years as supply crunch fears outweigh expectations for an increase in U.S. crude inventories. We get that inventory data from the Energy Information Administration at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Here at the preview is Bloomberg's Jessica Summers.
U.S. crude inventories have finally started to rise as refineries take down process units for seasonal maintenance, which typically lowers demand for oil. Analysts are projecting a 1.5 million barrel increase in crude stockpiles in this week's report. Meanwhile, the industry-funded American Petroleum Institute reported crude supplies climbed 907,000 barrels. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jessica, thank you. Checking prices now. Brent crude is trading at $85.28 a barrel, while NYMEX crude oil is at $75.53.
Shares of JCPenney rose 9% in late trading yesterday after the company announced Jill Soltau will take over as CEO. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett with that story.
She brings 30 years of retail experience to the embattled department store chain. Soltau has served as CEO of Joann's Stores since 2015. She takes over October 15th. The announcement does remove some of the uncertainty from JCPenney. Soltau now faces a business that has struggled to correct inventory issues and whose latest quarterly report left analysts fuming. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Home builder Lennar is on the short list of companies reporting earnings today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Analyst ratings on the big home builder are overwhelmingly bullish. Bloomberg Intelligence says Lennar's results for the prior quarter did a lot to address investor concerns about its ability to deliver strong performance despite rising interest rates. The company is also seen benefiting from its increased scale, boosting operational efficiencies and margins. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. The first day of trading is underway for Aston Martin. Its London IPO valued the luxury car maker around $5.6 billion. That puts it on par with Ferrari. Those shares of Aston Martin are currently trading below that IPO price right now, down 5% in London. This is Bloomberg. And it is now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in John Tucker. He's got more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump says the sexual misconduct allegations against his Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, shows it's a very scary time in the U.S. for men. And campaigning last night, he in Mississippi, he mocked Kavanaugh accuser Christine Blasey Ford.
I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller is trimming more attorneys from his office. Another sign his team of prosecutors is winding down parts of their investigation into potential ties between Russia and President Trump's campaign. Two prosecutors detailed to the Russia investigation for the past year are returning to their duties in other parts of the Justice Department. They joined two other attorneys who left the team over the summer. Everyone will receive an alert on their cell phones today from President Trump. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons explains.
You will hear a wail and a buzz at 2:18 Eastern Time, similar to an Amber Alert. It'll have a message that reads, Presidential Alert. This is the test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed. The alert will sound on your phone as long as it's on, and even if it is on mute. It's the first such test to be conducted by FEMA. While you can opt out of Amber Alerts, you cannot opt out of the National Alert. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York State tax officials say they're now investigating a New York Times report that President Trump received at least $413 million from his father over the decades, much of that through dubious tax dodges, including outright fraud. The 15,000-word Times report contradicts Mr. Trump's portrayal of himself as a self-made billionaire who started with just a million-dollar loan from his father. The U.S. is expected to announce it will use its cyber warfare capabilities on NATO's behalf, if asked, in a key move to counter Russia's aggressive use of cyber attacks across Europe and around the world. And the death toll from that earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia has increased to 1,407. The magnitude 7.5 earthquake and tsunami it generated devastated the city of Palo and nearby communities in the Central Sulawesi province. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thanks. It is coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street. That brings us to the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, October baseball in the Bronx. The Yankees' 54th postseason. They are right back where they were a year ago with the same pitcher on the mound. Although the Yanks are hoping Luis Severino tonight against Oakland pitches a lot better than he did last year against Minnesota. He got taken out in the first inning. Yanks did come back and win that game. Ended up just one win shy of winning the pennant. Severino, a 19-game winner this season. But he did hit a rough patch in the second half. He did struggle in his one start versus the A's, who tonight are starting a relief pitcher. They may use 8 or 9 different ones. Aaron Boone was asked about that yesterday.
We certainly are prepared for that kind of scenario tomorrow. And we know the A's have a ton of really good arms over there that present a lot of challenges for us. We'll just be prepared as best we can to handle that and to succeed.
Winner tonight plays Friday in Boston. In Chicago last night, Colorado Rockies scored a run in the first inning, then didn't score again until the lucky 13th with two outs, nobody on, against Kyle Hendricks, normally a starter. They had back-to-back hits and then broke through.
The pitch.
Base hit into center field by Tony Walters. Home comes Story. Par to third. The Rockies have regained the lead. 2-1 in the top of the 13th. Tony Walters with the biggest hit of his career.
Rockies radio calling the game winner. Cubs had tied the game in the 8th on a Javi Baez hit. Rockies moving on to play the Brewers, who also just wanted Wrigley to win the division. The season over for the Cubs. Had the best record in the NL for most of the season, but at times offensively challenged. And in back-to-back home games this week, the Cubs scored just 2 runs in 22 innings. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures up 5 points. That is a gain of nearly 0.2%. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures up 15 points. This is Daybreak. That sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing alongside the euro and Italian bonds rallying on reports the government will rein in spending plans. Germany's DAX is closed for a public holiday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 39, NASDAQ futures up 15. And the 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. The yield 3.07%. Yield on the 2-year 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 22 cents to $75.45 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $12.0670 an ounce. The euro $1.1564. The yen 113.84. Today we're watching for a report on private payrolls out at 8:15 Wall Street time. At 10 we get a look at service industries. And Lennar is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. The New York State tax officials have launched an investigation after the New York Times reported President Trump took part in dubious tax schemes during the 1990s, including instances of outright fraud that greatly increased the fortune he received from his parents. President Trump campaigning last night in South Haven, Mississippi, mocked the testimony of Brett Kavanaugh accuser Christine Blasey Ford at her appearance last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will travel to Pyongyang on Sunday to meet with Kim Jong-un and prepare for a second summit between the North Korean leader and President Trump. Bloomberg Sports, the Rockies beat the Cubs 2-1 in the longest win-or-go-home postseason game in Major League history. And tonight, the Yankees and the A's face off in the AL wildcard match. NBA preseason action, the Celtics lost to the Cavs, the Knicks play the Nets tonight. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thanks. 5:19 is the time on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Joined now by Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Christina, we're watching futures contracts rise following gains in Europe, with Italy bowing to pressure from the European Union to trim its budget deficit target. Are the concerns out of Italy eased now?
They actually have eased significantly. And so while this could change on a dime, so I wouldn't expect it necessarily to, I wouldn't necessarily expect to see spreads come in indefinitely, I think for at least now we can take a breather when it comes to Italy.
At least now, what could bring those changes on a dime, do you think?
Well, what we know about Italy is that this is a precarious situation. You essentially have a bolt-on coalition government, one that represents two very different philosophical views, but which both put together suggest a lack of fiscal discipline, because you've got the right-wing populist party wanting to cut taxes at the same time the left-wing populist party wants to give more handouts to lower-income Italians. So it is a recipe for disaster. So I wouldn't say that we're out of the woods completely when it comes to Italy.
Not out of the woods necessarily in Italy, but is there a risk that with that push and pull between those two wings of the government colliding with each other, that we could see a spread into Europe more broadly?
It's always possible. I don't necessarily see that today, but it's true that we are seeing a fair amount of flare-ups, right? Because it's not just tensions isolated in Italy. We've got concerns going on right now in the UK about a no-deal Brexit, which looks increasingly likely.
Let's move on to concerns in the U.S., perhaps. We heard from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell in Boston yesterday, not sounding concerned really at all about low employment sparking a takeoff in prices. Sounding like slow and steady on the rate hike path is where he's going. What are you looking at?
Well, I'm interested in the language that we saw from the announcement the other day, which removed that sentence that monetary policy is still accommodative. And I think that's an important point, because we saw in recent FOMC minutes participants talking about how we're getting to the point where we can't call monetary policy accommodative. So my read on that is that that raises the hurdle going forward for the Fed to raise rates. And that's a positive for markets. It's comforting for markets, particularly since we've already seen three rate hikes this year. I think it's going to be harder to raise rates a fourth time this year. I don't think it's impossible to do it, but it's going to make it harder.
Do you think your view on that will change depending on what comes out of the Friday jobs report?
Absolutely. I think what happens between now and the December FOMC meeting will absolutely dictate whether or not we see that fourth rate hike this year. And so we're going to want to pay close attention to the upcoming jobs report, as well as other data. We have to be concerned about inflation, and that could be what pushes the Fed over the edge, not just with a fourth rate hike this year, but significant rate hikes next year.
How big a data point for you is this news we got from Amazon yesterday that it's joining Target and Costco and some other retailers on the $15 minimum wage trend?
Well, that doesn't seem to be motivated specifically by the need for employees. It seems to be more focused on public relations efforts, branding and imaging efforts. But it does suggest greater wage pressure. It is a big employer. And so we want to watch that closely because we're also likely to experience more inflationary pressures from a growing tariff war. And add to that, of course, just in general, that we're hearing from employers that it's harder to find employees. And so naturally, we should see some kind of increase in wage growth from those employers going forward.
And just quickly, with the possibility of a protracted trade war with China, did the president perhaps give some, I guess, ease off of that concern with the new deal with Canada and Mexico, just quickly?
I don't think so. The new deal with Canada actually occurred because the U.S. made concessions as well. And this is a necessary evil, I think, on the part of the U.S. in order to clear the deck and have more of a focus on China, because that's the really big issue.
Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Always good to get your insights. Thanks for joining us on Daybreak. S&P futures up 4 points right now. Dow futures ahead by 33. NASDAQ futures up 14 points. This is Bloomberg. Want to remind you about at TikTok by Bloomberg. It's the first and only global news network built for Twitter. 24/7 news streaming live at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991 to Boston, Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960 to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are following European stocks higher after yesterday's record close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The euro and Italian bonds are rallying on reports Italy's government will rein in spending plans. Local media say Italy's populist government will reduce its budget deficit targets for 2020 and 2021.
Oil trading near the highest level in almost 4 years as supply fears outweigh expectations for an increase in U.S. crude inventories. Checking prices now, Brent crude is up 0.25%. It's trading at $85.01 a barrel. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% at $75.34.
In Turkey, consumer inflation rose for a sixth straight month, reaching its highest level in more than 15 years. The lira's meltdown contributed to an inflation rate of 24.5% in September.
At 8:15 a.m. Wall Street time, ADP releases its monthly employment report. Economists forecast businesses added 184,000 workers in August. Bloomberg's Vinny Dalgiudice has more.
The ADP report is based on payroll data from more than 300,000 businesses. Bloomberg Economics anticipates a September rebound, noting the prior month's tally is below the six-month average by 37,000. Job openings have been running at records. Also on today's calendar, the ISM Non-Manufacturing Index and the Market U.S. Services PMI. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Risk premiums on U.S. junk-rated bonds have tumbled to the lowest level since the financial crisis. The yield spread between junk bonds and treasuries reached 3.09 percentage points this week. For some, it's a signal that markets are in the late stages of a long bull run.
The first day of trading is underway for Aston Martin. Shares of the luxury car maker are trading below their IPO price. They're down about 5% in London.
Shares of Tesco down 7%. The UK's largest grocer reported second quarter profit that fell short of estimates.
And for the second time in 2 weeks, jurors weighing claims that Johnson & Johnson's baby powder contains cancer-causing asbestos failed to reach a verdict. The judge declared a mistrial in the case of a California man who blamed J&J for his cancer.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points. This morning, Dow futures up 35. NASDAQ futures up 15. No trading in Germany today. The FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 3.07%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. And the euro at $1.1566. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street, and John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Nathan. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is insistent there will be a Brett Kavanaugh confirmation vote this week. Let's get the update in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The president took it to a rally. And he says really evil people are trying to destroy the judge.
He's had no problems.
They've never taken him out of restaurants.
And Democrats, he says, are the party of crime. Meanwhile, lawyers for two of the women who accused Kavanaugh of sexual assault say the investigation isn't full enough in scope. And swing vote Republican Senator Jeff Flake says after reanalyzing the Kavanaugh Senate hearing last week, he questions whether he has a temperament for the job. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And mocking her testimony, President Trump is talking about Kavanaugh accuser Christine Blasey Ford's appearance last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee, trying to recite some of her responses when she was questioned.
What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember.
President Trump campaigning last night in South Haven, Mississippi. Lawyers for President Trump are threatening a defamation suit against the New York Times after the paper reported that Mr. Trump took part in dubious tax schemes during the 1990s, including instances of outright fraud that greatly increased the fortune he received from his father. New York State tax authorities, meantime, have opened an investigation into the allegations reported in the Times. A spokesman for the Department of Taxation and Finance says the tax department is reviewing the allegations in the Times article and is vigorously pursuing all appropriate avenues of investigation. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is trimming more attorneys from his office. It's another sign his team of prosecutors is winding down parts of their investigation into potential ties between Russia and President Trump's campaign. And authorities in Indonesia have set a deadline of Friday to find anyone still trapped under rubble, at which point, a week after devastating earthquake and tsunami, the chances of finding survivors will dwindle to almost zero. The death toll now stands at 1,407. Global news 24 hours a day on air and a TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, normally winning 100 games wins you a division. Not the case for the Yankees. Red Sox were better. That leaves the Yanks in the no room for error. One game, winner take all tonight at the stadium against the Oakland A's. A team with 97 wins of their own, and they were under 500 in mid-June. They went 63-29 after that. The Yanks will start Luis Severino, even though the first half of his season was much better than the second. He did have three solid starts at the end. The A's, in a surprise, are starting 29-year-old Australian Liam Hendricks, only started 8 games all season. Their plan is to just use relief pitchers. Aaron Boone, 15 years after he hit a home run to win a pennant for the Yankees, tonight makes his postseason managerial debut.
An opportunity to chase the ultimate prize, and we have that opportunity. You know, that's what you play for as a player. That's what I'm in it for in this seat. You know, we have a special group in there that I think's capable of being a really special club, and now we get to go find out and chase that down.
Winner tonight, then off to Boston. Last night in Chicago, Rockies scored first inning. Cubs tied the game in the eighth. And then with two outs in the 13th inning, Colorado's backup catcher Tony Walters delivered a pinch-hit RBI single. Bottom of the 13th.
Calmly looks in, gets his sign from Tony Walters. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! He got him! Scott Oberg strikes out the side! The Rockies are moving on.
Rockies Radio, they'll play Milwaukee in the NLDS starting tomorrow. That'll be a series between two teams who've never won a World Series. There'll be a new manager in Minnesota, Hall of Fame player Paul Molitor, manager of the year last season, won't be back. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on the only U.S. company that doesn't hate President Trump's aluminum tariffs. Also in this week's issue, how the latest moves in the U.S.-China trade war could spell trouble for American consumers. Peter Coy wrote that story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
President Trump has been saying at different times that these tariffs are presenting a big surge in revenue to the U.S. Treasury, and China's paying billions in tariffs. Well, it's actually not the way it's working out.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. That brings us to the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. JetBlue hopes to boost earnings by expanding in three key cities and selling more travel services, including car rentals and hotels. The carrier will add more seats at Kennedy Airport and shift more flights to Boston and Fort Lauderdale. New Jersey is rolling back regulations that would have curbed trivia nights, live performances, TV sports, and other entertainment at microbreweries. The move comes after lawmakers sticking up for the state's 88 craft beer brewers said they would sponsor legislation to overturn the new rules, which were issued last week. Sources tell Bloomberg Belmond, which owns hotels and resorts, has attracted interest from potential buyers like SL Capital, Blackstone, KKR, and others. They're among parties weighing offers for all or part of the company. In addition to luxury hotels, the company also owns restaurants, including New York's famed 21 Club. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. JCPenney taps the head of Joann's Stores to lead the struggling department store chain.
I'm Steve Podusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm reporting on Hyperloop Transportation Technologies unveiling its first Hyperloop capsule.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following Prime Minister Theresa May's defense of her Brexit blueprint at the Tory Party conference.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on JetBlue Airways beefing up its presence at Logan.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Taking a forward look at the markets, S&P futures are up by 6 points. That is a gain of 0.2%. Dow futures ahead by 42. That is a 0.1% gain. NASDAQ futures up by 18 points. That's about 0.25% gain on the NASDAQ. 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.06, while the 2-year is at 2.81%. NYMEX crude trading at $75.21, while the Brent crude is at $84.89 a barrel. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:40 on Wall Street. Coming up next on Daybreak, we'll check in with Bloomberg Opinion, fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top stories. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are rising alongside the euro and Italian bonds rallying under reports the government will rein in spending plans. Germany's DAX is closed for a public holiday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures higher, up 6 points. Dow futures up 39. NASDAQ futures up 17. The FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.06%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up less than 0.1%, up 6 cents to $75.29 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 50 cents to $12.07.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1565, the yen, 113.81. Today we're watching for a report on private payrolls out at 8:15 Wall Street time. At 10, we get a look at service industries. And Lennar among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And thanks, Karen. The New York State tax authorities have opened an investigation into allegations reported in the New York Times that President Trump and his family created their real estate empire through instances of outright fraud, evading taxes on hundreds of millions of dollars. President Trump mocked two of the women who have come forward with claims that the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh engaged in sexual assault and other misconduct in the 1980s. President Trump says the King of Saudi Arabia may not last 2 weeks without U.S. support. It's escalating pressure on one of his closest Arab allies to curb rising oil prices and pay for military protection. Bloomberg Sports, the Rockies beat the Cubs 2-1 in the longest win-or-go-home postseason game in Major League history. Well, tonight, the Yankees and the A's face off in the AL wildcard match. NBA preseason action, the Celtics lost to the Cavs. The Knicks play the Nets tonight. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John Tucker, thank you so much. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios where the time is 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. That's our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor, joins us live from our London bureau. Talking of data-driven commentary on breaking news, Jen, Marcus Ashworth is looking into the lira's apparent immunity to Turkish inflation. We just got that unprecedented 24.5% read on Turkish consumer inflation for September. You'd never know it, though, by looking at the currency.
It is really surprising. So, yeah, sure, straight away after the data came out, the lira tumbled about 2% against the dollar. But then it started recovering. It's fluctuated a little, but at one point it was almost little changed. And this is the immunity. It looks like the lira is immune to this inflation news.
Yeah, so what are currency traders looking at?
It really looks to be the fact that the economy seems to be straight headed for a recession. So there was some data earlier this week on a purchasing managers index that PMI fell to 42.7 in September. It's not only below the level of 50, which indicates contraction, it sunk a very long way very quickly. It was 55.7 in January. And so this is what's going to solve Turkey's inflation problem, very sadly. As activity tails off, price growth will peter out.
Now, Turkey's central bank just voted for a pretty serious rate hike last month. Doesn't that mean a more relaxed lira would be just a show of a bit of faith here?
It's really hard to see that. I mean, you're absolutely right. 625 basis points is a pretty healthy rate increase. But that came hours after President Erdogan said his patience with the central bank was running thin. The debate over the independence of the central bank is really far from over. And to be honest, Ashworth points out that there's only so much a central bank can do in a situation like that. You have only to look at Argentina, which raised its key rate to 60% from 45%, and still the peso kept falling.
All right, let's turn to what seems to be driving the news out of Europe right now. Italy's budget woes. Francesco Garzarelli looking at a warning sign on Italy's euro membership. All that talk of the Italian budget causing the spread between Italian and German bonds to widen. What does that tell us?
There's actually two stories here. So one, you're absolutely right. It's about the fiscal outlook. It concerns about the budget deficit. But also there's the government's ambivalence towards Italy's euro membership and its potential plan B to reintroduce the Italian lira.
And Garzarella is taking a look also at just how investors are pricing this risk, right?
Yeah, he's made a really interesting observation. So there's two different credit default swap contracts that you can look at. One was produced in 2003, and that promises to pay back the face value of government bonds in the event of a debt restructuring. The 2014 version offers additional protection against the risks that the defaulted bonds are converted into a currency other than the euro. So what you do is you look at the price difference between these two CDS contracts, and that shows you how investors are pricing this plan B to reintroduce the lira. And what he sees is that there could be about 100 basis points difference between the two.
So just quickly, why isn't this risk creating more shockwaves?
You've got to exercise some caution in looking at these CDS contracts. I mean, the volume is very different from, for instance, the bond market. But even though you've got to take some care, it should be unwise to dismiss entirely what they tell us, because Italy really remains a systemic fault line in European markets.
Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor in London. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg terminal, type in OPIN. Go, Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The commissioner of Major League Baseball and a Writers Guild want the IRS to leave owners of sports teams and entertainment content writers out of the specified service businesses ineligible for the 2017 tax overhaul's new pass-through deduction. Tesla and CEO Elon Musk won't be allowed to deduct the $20 million settlements they separately agreed to pay the SEC. And companies with contracts to perform work for the city of San Francisco will have to pay their employees at least $17 per hour under a labor-backed ordinance heading to the mayor's desk.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at how the FBI investigation into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh could affect the midterm elections. For more on that, Bloomberg's Peter Barnes and Amy Morris speak with Hoover Institute fellow Lonnie Chen.
I got to ask, the president had this really voluminous list of a lot of people who would have been a good fit for what the president wants to do with this seat. If the GOP may be at risk of losing swing voters or women voters coming up in November or even in 2020, why risk that? Why not pull his name and put somebody in who might not have such choppy waters?
I think it's a balancing act for the White House. On the one hand, you're right, there are some issues with respect to swing voters and independents, but the Republican base is agitating now for support of Kavanaugh. They see this as a litmus test issue. Republicans who don't support Kavanaugh, they believe are weak. They're allowing the Democrats to control the narrative. And so the most important thing to realize is that when you're talking about a midterm election, which is the one we have coming up, the question of the intensity of one's partisan base is the principal factor in dictating the measure of success in an election. And so if you have Republican voters who are displeased with you, who don't show up to vote, that's a recipe for disaster. So yes, on the one hand, in the long run for swing voters in the Republican Party, keeping with Kavanaugh is potentially problematic. But in the short run for the midterm election, I don't think the White House and Republicans have much of a choice.
So what is your forecast for the midterms?
Well, first of all, I think the United States Senate is going to be very difficult for Democrats to take control of. It's a very difficult map. It's always been the case. The Kavanaugh hearings actually, in a lot of ways, make it even harder for Democrats because it puts some of these red state Democrats, people like Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, in a very difficult position. If they vote against Kavanaugh, that is a campaign issue that will work against them. And so I think in the Senate, the Republicans are likely to hold on to the majority. In the House, the challenge has always been you've got a number of districts where Hillary Clinton did very well in 2016, and you have a number of Republican retirements, which has always made the House a more challenging lift. There, the key issue is going to be the intensity of each base, which base turns out more voluminously, the Democrats or the Republicans. And at this point, I think it's going to be very, very close. It would not surprise me to see either outcome, the Democrats taking control or the Republicans maintaining control.
That's Hoover Institute fellow Lonnie Chen speaking with Bloomberg's Amy Morris and Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Nathan.
Karen, it's 5:57 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at OppenheimerFunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora.
The latest trend in exchange-traded funds is going vegan. A firm off the coast of France has registered a fund with the Securities and Exchange Commission called the U.S. Vegan Climate ETF. Beyond Advisors says the fund seeks to address the concerns of vegans, animal lovers, and environmentalists by avoiding investments in companies whose activities directly contribute to animal suffering, destruction of the natural environment, and climate change. The gauge was created by three European vegan finance professionals. Investors will have to pay handsomely for the privilege of buying in. The fund is charging a management fee of 60 basis points, or $6 for every $1,000 invested. That's the Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
All right, Patrice, thank you. S&P futures are up 6.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 47. NASDAQ futures up 20. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 3.06%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.